Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back. It's another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I am Craig, sitting alongside Greg. You know, as leaders, we like to get buy-in from people, and we like for them to say, rah, rah, we're with you, let's go. What do you think about those people that say, hold up a second? That is an important person to have on your team. In fact, it might be important to have a lot of people like that on your team, because I found that sometimes the quote unquote yes people aren't really paying attention. They just like, whatever you say. Yep. Well, what did I just say? I don't know, but I agree with it. You go, boss. That's great. You've got a great idea there. I think that we're looking for I like this. You had this phrase here. We're looking for unity, but we're not looking for uniformity. Mm-mm. We're not looking for conformity. You know, everybody right. to just be kind of like little clones of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We do want to be on the same page, but not necessarily all just parroting the same phrases over and over.
It would be pretty boring, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If we had just a lineup, our team is 12 people on our leadership management team, and they're all robots.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't want that. I want a little push.
Yep.
I want a little effort. I want to see someone kind of struggle. Like, well, I was hoping for the other assignment, but I'll try this. You know.
Right.
It's fun to see them blossom and grow when they know it's safe.
Yes.
You know, I think that's
a key word.
That's kind of our. Mm-hmm. That's where we have to start, right? Is it safe to make a mistake? You know, is it safe to embrace when someone didn't get a sale or they lost a contract or are we going to just beat them? The unity doesn't mean we're all the same,
right?
But it means we're together,
right?
And I think that's what's so cool. I think about, you know, the 12 guys in sandals that chased Jesus around for a few years. You're like, none of them were the same. I mean, their backgrounds were different. What they brought
personalities,
to the table, how they handled things, and I think that is just a great lesson for us, you know, here on Earth. Is right. Yeah, we don't have to have robots, and it's okay to have differences. Which let's speak to that. So, what is it about differences that we think we need them to be conforming?
Well, you know, we use a phrase sometimes. We'll say, you know, well, after God made him or her, he broke the mold. Well, he did that with everybody.
Everyone.
You know, there has never been like a repeat model. It wasn't, you know,
true.
God's not saying, hey, you know what? I had this one gal in the 17th century that was, and I'm going to bring that model back. So everybody is unique. And by that definition, unique means one of a kind.
Yep.
That means they're not going to see things the way that I see it. They're not going to feel things the way that I feel it. They're not going to desire for necessarily the exact same things that I desire for. And I think that that's the first part for leaders to recognize. I'm sitting in a room with a bunch of people the mold got destroyed after they were made.
Right.
They're all one of a kind, unique creations.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that I would expect them to all just go, yes, sir, everything that I say?
My guess,
yeah,
because we like to do it easy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard to get to know people.
Yep.
You know, if you have 12 leaders and managers on your team, you really, as a leader, need to know every single one of them.
It's work. It's messy.
Yep.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we think, oh, you know, those guys will be fine. Those ladies will do good. You know, well, everyone has different experiences, and we go through a different filter or screen. You know, you grew up in a legitimate family with your parents, but it's a different experience than what I had with my parents.
Right.
And so I think making the assumption that everybody is the same is probably one mistake I've made. Is
sure.
Like, well, everybody's motivated the same. No.
Oh.
No. And so, but then also, what do they bring to the table?
Right.
Well, you know, Mary didn't say much in that meeting. I'll go check in with her. Excellent job.
Yes.
And then, oh, I had some issues last night and I may have to put my dog down and, oh, this is real life.
Right.
This isn't just business, you know, so I get it why you weren't that engaged, but you have to check with them.
Right.
Otherwise, you lose the unity. You're like, well, he's just assuming I'm another robot or a machine in the line. And
right.
When you think of conformity or uniformity, it isn't allowing toxic or chaos.
Right.
You know, that's, I think that's one of those debates. But for unity, it doesn't guarantee peacefulness or quiet.
Right.
Unity is, all right, we're all flexing. We're all in this, you know, battle together. How do we allow for them to be unique and still hold sort of a unity to our team?
I think, like what you just said, that it's not peaceful necessarily in the process. I think what's really good for a leader, I've done this a couple of times, when people feel safe to share their opinions, and we're sitting around the table and people are sharing, oh, I disagree with that because I think, and I have said, hey guys, let me just call a brief time out here. We're disagreeing on this, and I'm fine with that. This is the spot for us to disagree with this, because we want to sharpen each other. We want to find the absolute best. So let's please continue this conversation, and disagree. But know, when we walk out of here at the end, we're all going to be in agreement on something.
Right.
We're going to find a spot to agree on. Right. I think that addressing that right up front, because if somebody goes, boy, I don't see it that way. And they're like, do I say, maybe I shouldn't say something. When you give them permission, no, I want to hear your opinion. Because what I don't want, and this is where I've shut down conversations, is when somebody comes to me after we've tried something and it hasn't worked very well. I didn't think that was going to work very well. I don't want to hear that right now, because I gave you plenty of opportunity to share that with me ahead of time.
I like that.
So, you know, and that's when I want you to share. We can be unified. Mm-hmm. We want the best for our organization. We want the best for all the people in our organization. We want the best for all the people that we serve. But we're not going to be necessarily totally conformed to the exact way to do that. We're all going to have a different idea of how to get that done.
You do this very well. You accept the tension that is natural.
Mm, yeah.
I think that's a great lesson for all of us, those listening. Tension is not to be avoided. Because without tension, your bike chain breaks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, and many other analogies. Why do we avoid tension?
Well, it is, like I threw that word in earlier when you were talking, it's messy.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know, a proverb that you and I like a lot is, it says, iron sharpens iron. Think about the iron sharpens iron. I'm not going to get sharpened if I'm just looking for somebody that's a marshmallow.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, they're always going to give in. They're always going to just defer, or whatever. I don't agree with you, but whatever you want. You know, that's not going to sharpen anything. Right. I used to do this sometimes. I'll just use this because it's a three-dimensional object, but I'd have my leadership team sitting around a table, and I would put something in the middle of the table, and I would ask somebody on the other opposite side from me, I'd say, what do you see on your side of the can in this case? Yeah. And they would tell me something, I'd say, well, I disagree with you because I don't see that on my side of the can. But that's why you need the whole team with their different perspectives, because they're seeing something that I'm not seeing, but I'm also seeing something that they're not seeing.
Right.
Somebody else maybe sitting from over this side maybe is seeing a little glimpse of what they are and a little glimpse of what I'm seeing. And so then as a team, we can pull the whole thing together. If you just have somebody that just goes, well, I don't see it, but sure, I'll just go along with you just because I don't want to disagree. I don't want to get in trouble. That's not helping anybody.
No. And maybe going back, maybe one of our first sentences when we started this podcast is create that safe environment to disagree, to question, to add to it. Maybe even a qualifying question or a statement. Granted, we've been in those meetings where someone always has to talk. You're like, okay, that's enough. But that's, you don't really want to shut that down, because someone who maybe only does 1,000 words in a meeting and someone does 8, you're like, well, the 8 can be quiet, but I need more out of the 1,000. But if we tell the 8 to be quiet, the 1,000 now goes to 500 words.
Right.
I mean, they're just going to, they're not going to face the, you know, the fight. I think the tension, let's play with that a bit. Why do we avoid it? Why are we so focused, even in life, not just leadership, where, you know, like, let's be comfortable. Yeah. Why is that?
Well, if I allow you to share and I give you the safe place to be able to share something that you disagree with, then that means I also have to be open to the idea that maybe you have a better idea than I do.
Yeah.
There and there's some leaders that are insecure mm-hmm. that they're like, I have to be the smartest person in the room. You know, yeah. And you and I have both been around those kind of people that they are going to let you know that they're the smartest person in the room.
Can I say this? I'm thinking of two people in particular that I was in a firm and we had a bunch of partners and they would tell you that. And I'm like, well, if you have to tell me, then you're not.
Yes.
Like I want to experience your brilliance, right. But don't tell me that you're really smart because right. I'm going to see it. I want you to prove it to me. Right. Not that I doubt you, but when you lead with that, like, you know, I'm really smart. I've been here a long time.
Right.
All right. So you lost a lot of information because it's different now. What is it about, I don't want to call it a know-it-all, but a person that has to be the smartest, what do we do with that? And that doesn't have to be the person who is like in charge, could right. be a leadership team.
Right.
You're in a group, you're all leaders and managers and excelling. When someone has to be that person, how do you deal with that?
Well, again, that what I have said that in the room with the people while this is going on. Listen, you need to be as open to other people's ideas as you want them to be open to your ideas. That's kind of the golden rule yeah. because we want the best idea to win. Because if this third best, fourth best, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, is just the loudest. And so then that one is what comes up or, well, you know, he's the guy that has the power to fire us. And so we don't want to disagree right. with that one. If that's what happens, none of us are going to get better. Our organization's going to flounder. We're going to be mediocre. We're mm-hmm. never going to be excellent because there's no iron sharpening the iron.
Yeah.
And so you have to be open to that. And if leaders are so insecure that they're not going to let other people share that, or if you have somebody on your team that like, well, you guys never agree with anything that I say, well, but are you listening to their ideas? As much mm-hmm. as you want them to listen to your ideas, are you willing to be as receptive to their ideas? Are you willing to even say, doggone it, you had a better idea than I did?
Yeah, be okay, yeah. Right.
And I also try to encourage language like this too. Building on Greg's idea, I would add, so affirming that person,
yep.
hey, actually what you said is what sparked an idea in my mind. Quite. So I didn't come up with something new. You actually gave me the idea and I want to build on it.
Excellent.
Right. That makes the other person, let them know that they've been heard mm-hmm. and not just, I disagree with what you said and I'm just going to go somewhere else. But yeah. let me build on what you just said. Or, oh man, you just gave me a great idea. Let yeah. me play off of that one. That's how we can affirm the people on the team and still get good ideas out there.
What is it that us leaders need to work on then to allow someone else to have another idea, a better one?
Well, I had a quote in here from my cousin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep. I think he can answer that question better than I can. This is
well, how come he's not here?
Yeah, I think he's on the other side of the planet right now. Oh, but okay. He wrote this, strong leaders respect and need no men.
Versus yes men.
Yes.
I like it.
It is weak leaders who surround themselves with the ever agreeable. Unity requires honorable disagreement. Otherwise, you don't have unity, you have just conformity. The strong leaders recognize his weaknesses and limitations and surrounds himself with those who are better, wiser, and stronger. And I love this last line. It is the fool who rejoices in the chorus around him that only sings an echo. There's a lot of
good.
we've used a phrase that's been coined, the echo chamber.
Yep.
You know, some people say, well, you know, on X, I only follow those people that I agree with. Okay, so you're just saying something and you're just listening for the echo to come back. Well, I like what Dick said. Then it's just a chorus of fools. If you're not going to listen, be open to listen to like, maybe you've got a better idea mm-hmm. that I haven't thought about before. That's pretty foolish to yeah. think that I've arrived. I know it all now. I don't have to listen to anything anybody else says because I've got it all figured out. pretty foolish.
Yeah, it is. When you think about uniformity or really very little difference, right? Agreeable, I like that word. Like, so I was around two organizations in leadership, and where one particular leader in each firm really wanted agreeable people.
Yeah.
He wanted a short meeting, don't question me, just go out and make money and I'll be happy. I'll count the beans when I come in. Right. And I was like, nah, that's not really how we grow. Unfortunately for many people, they feel like they've grown in this and they've accomplished this, and that's why they're in leadership.
Yep.
Well, that's just when it begins.
Right.
Because now you really have to test your humility, your hunger, your honesty, et cetera. And what do you feel, Craig, the pushback is from others on the team regarding the unity? What is it that they're afraid to bring up something? Mm. They don't think it matters, even if they do bring it up.
Yep.
What else would you say for us as leaders to make sure we're...
Well, I think those are probably the two biggest ones that I've seen, is they either... don't think very highly of their thoughts, or they think, if I share something here, I'm going to get shot down. So why even share it? Why even, you know, broach the subject? Because nobody's going to listen to me. Nobody. Mm-hmm. And that could be because, you know, you do have a controlling leader that doesn't want to hear that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it could also be that they're a little bit closed-minded, like, I do have the best idea, and if people don't agree with my idea, then they're idiots and for not, you know, thinking the same way that I'm thinking. There's a variety of things, but again, I mean, we've, I don't know how many times that, you know, you and I have talked about a safe culture is you can share an idea that's different, and I'm not going to, you know, start treating you differently because mm-hmm. you didn't agree with me.
Right.
So share the idea.
Well, maybe as leaders, one ploy that I have tried at times, and it seems to have worked just to keep the table going, you know, and wrestling with something, is playing the devil's advocate, mm-hmm. where it feels like we should all do this. We should all wear blue. We should all drive this kind of a truck,
right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. And like, well, what about like gas efficiency? So maybe we should get a car once in a while, or, you know, you want to kind of throw a wrench in the system so it our meetings aren't rubber stamp, we're unified and nothing new comes out of it. How do we make sure we don't have staleness, you know, by people just wanting to be agreeable or maybe move on to another subject because it's not worth it, or I'm sure I'm getting my head bit off. How do we do that?
I found that questions are really good, where I'll say to somebody, I'll go, oh, that's interesting. How did you come to that conclusion?
Hmm.
Have you thought about like what would the result be if we implemented that? If we put that in place, what do you think what might happen? I want to get to the bottom of their thinking, because a lot of times I found that the idea that they've shared, maybe they didn't articulate it very well, but if I drill down a little bit on what actually prompted that idea, going back to I saw something over here that nobody else saw, they just didn't articulate it very mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. If I drill down on that, then, I start seeing some light bulbs coming on in the mm-hmm. room. People are like, oh, yeah, I didn't get it, you know, like that either. So I found that, you know, asking the questions, drilling down. I'll tell you a funny story. this is for our esteemed producer over here, who also happens to be my firstborn. You were working as the offensive coordinator for a high school that played all your games at a downtown stadium that mm-hmm. is shared with all the high schools in downtown Grand Rapids. And I don't remember how old he was, pretty young, but we came to a game and we're sitting there, and the team that you guys were playing, their uniforms were all black mm-hmm. shirts, black pants. Now, we're in the inner city of Grand Rapids, so it happens to be that Harrison and I were probably very few of the people of non-color in mm-hmm. the stadium. And he innocently says to me, "Hey, Dad, what are those black guys doing down there?" Now he's pointing to the people that with the black jerseys, but I see everybody around me all turn and look at me, and I asked a question. I said, "What do you mean?" And then he points to your team, who's warming up in the other end zone. He goes, "We'll see how the orange guys are." And then all of a sudden, I could see all these faces. They all start smiling. Some of them start chuckling a little bit and turn back. And then one guy behind me leans forward and kind of goes like this. And I look back and he says, "You almost got yourself in trouble there."
No way.
And I go, yeah. I said, but I knew what he was saying. But that's what I think around the table, somebody is going to say something and you're going to have some people go turn and look like, what is he saying?
That's taboo.
And then when you go, I know where you're coming from, or I'm going to give you a chance to bail yourself out here, or I'm going to clarify. And so I'm going to ask a question to drill down there and let the rest of the team go, oh, okay. Yeah, now I see where he was going. That's what we got to do as leaders, not just go, oh man, you put your foot in your mouth, not listening to you anymore.
Two interesting examples, and that's a very funny one. Sales calls. I really brought my entire team. I like different views. So like you're in a meeting. So what did you see?
Yep.
Well, I saw this. What did you hear? I saw, because you have 3-4 people with you,
yep,
and they're going through their filter. They're thinking of what they're hoping to get out of the meeting to bring back and say, I think they're interested. I think we can wrap this up really good. You know, when I first took the team out, they did the agreeable, like Dick said in his quote. So I said, "How did you think it went?" "Oh, it was great. You did a great job. You know, I think we're gonna get it." You know, and I thought, "Well, I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm gonna change it." All right. So, what did you see that I didn't see? And that just changed it.
Absolutely.
I mean, the conversation in the truck ride back, where we could be in Detroit, we could be up north, whatever. I mean, they just went off.
Right.
But prior to that, you know, when I didn't do that, I just kind of did the, you know, how'd it go? Good. Well, I didn't learn anything from that, you know.
Right.
So now it's like, so what went well?
Right.
And if we could redo it, what would you do different at one of those moments where you're like, ooh, we might lose this thing? And then a lot of ideas.
Great questions.
It's cool, you know, and they're just throwing stuff out. And I says, is someone taking notes? I'm driving. I mean, this is really good. Right. And then at some point, you know, a year or two later, same teammates, maybe a little interchange. All right, so I could hear a new person on our team in a new space that we needed him there. And so they're in the truck, and so one of them leans over. So after this appointment, you're going to be asked a lot of questions. And he goes, "Well, I didn't do anything wrong." And he goes, "No, this is where we learn."
Right.
So now the ride back was learning versus like, now I'm not invoking, you know, a pressure on you.
Yep.
So some would be like, "Well, I didn't see that." Anybody else not see that? I didn't see that either. Whoa, I guess I saw wrong.
Yeah.
What did you guys see? And now they're just blowing the doors off. Here, yep. This is what I saw. We should have said this right there. All right, so who's going to follow up with a memo to that point, because we missed it?
Right.
And then we realize, you know what? In sales meetings and conversations, you're going to miss stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's one. And then I think we'll use an analogy of a quarterback. One of the clutch quarterbacks in history would be Joe Montana.
Sure.
He's 4-for-4 in the Super Bowl. At that point, you know, there was no protection for the quarterback. They were on the grass a lot because they got knocked down because every cheap shot was legal. But you could think about going in that huddle. All right, we got 75 yards to go. We got a minute 42 on the clock. I have one timeout. I know what we're going to do. And the people are like, okay, we're unified.
Yep.
And what did he bring? A confidence to that huddle. And I think that's our goal as leaders is to bring that out.
Yep.
How have you seen that play out?
Well, I jotted this down in our notes here. Healthy leaders build consensus without asking everyone to look the same and talk the same. And that's what we're trying to do is say, okay, in your analogy, Joe Montana, we have to get to that end zone. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Everybody has a different part to play.
Yes.
It's not like saying, well, everybody's going, well, I want to throw the ball. That's not what you do.
Right.
or, well, Joe, whatever you want, that's fine. We'll just go along with you.
We'll try it.
Yeah. You know, but they say, okay, we know where we're going to go. Inside that big arrow of where we're going, everybody's got maybe their little arrows that are kind of pointing slightly different directions because mm-hmm. they got different things that they have to do.
Yeah.
But again, that goes back to the leader Beautiful. Saying, we're not all going to say this the same way, act the same way, think the same way, but we want the same goal. We want the same destination. How are we going to get there? How are you going to make me better? How am I going to make you better?
Yeah,
it's got to be that I've got to give you freedom to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I also then want you to be just as open to hear what I right. have to say.
I think for an opportunity or an obstacle, so opportunity could be something positive. Obstacle could be positive. It's got to work through something.
Sure.
I love different ways to do it. So I got a sit-down tractor, got some property to cut, grass. And I said to my son, I said, all right, go out and cut the grass. And he says, how do you want me to do it? Well, I'd like you to cut the blades and grab the grass and dump it in the woods, but I don't care how you cut it. So he dilly-dallied around, did a maze one time, did a snail one time, just did a circle. And I said, great job. He goes, but it's not like how you did it. No, but is the grass cut.
But it's not me, right?
The grass is cut. And I think we have to be okay.
Yes.
You know, not a problem, but I'll give you a shout out to my mom. You know, she was particular and you kind of had to do it her way. And my sister and I struggle with that because that's not how we did something, whether it was loading the dishwasher or vacuuming or doing our laundry, whatever it was, just basic skills that the parents try to teach. And I thought, I don't do it that way, Mom. So right. like, but that's tough, you know, sure. for my mom to kind of say, okay, so yeah, I don't see the rose on the carpet. Well, who said you had to do rows? You just said vacuum.
Right.
You know? So I think we have to give people that little bit of freedom, a little wiggle room.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, like your golf swing is different than my golf swing. Our goal is to get over there on the green and get it near the pin so we can putt it in.
Right.
How we get there is very different.
Sure.
And I think that's the interesting part for us as leaders yep. is how do we allow people to have their own and still be part of the team.
Right.
You know, yeah. I got a quick quote here.
Yeah.
We are as strong as our unity and as weak as our division. Mm-hmm. And whether that's a country or that's a company or a family, that's pretty true. And I think our goal should be inviting, you know, that unity, but also bring your uniqueness.
Yep.
I need Absolutely. It. I don't want the agreeable that much. Right. You know, so.
Well, leaders, it does start with you. You have to create that safe environment. I think that as Greg expressed, you know, get your team together and tell them, hey, I'm looking for input from you. Maybe ask better questions. Find the ways that you can cultivate that, because that's how your iron is going to be sharpened by the other iron of the people around you. So don't look for people to just say yes, whatever you want, because you might not be the smartest person in the room and you're going to need somebody else to step in there and help you. We'd like to help you too. If you want to check out MaximizeLeadership.com, you'll find a lot of resources there. You find some of Greg's books. You also find our coaching page where you can learn more about the coaching services that we provide. You fill out the form on there. We'll get back to you and let you know how we could step in to help you. We'd also like some help from you as well. Mm-hmm. As you watch these videos or as you listen online, why don't you give us some comments, give us some feedback, maybe some ideas that we could improve on, or maybe a topic that you would like to hear a little bit more, and we'll dive into that the next time. We love getting questions from you as well that we can respond to. We want to be here to resource you, but you need to tell us the kind of resources that you're looking for, and then we can be more responsive to you. We just want to pour into your life and help you become the best leader that you can be so that everybody around you can grow and improve as well. And when we do that, boy, we'll start making a huge change throughout our whole society. So stay in touch with us. We're going to keep pouring into you. And we got more great content that's going to be coming your way really soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.